I want to wish everybody a good morning and glad we're all here. And like I said, I want to wish everybody a good morning and glad we're all here. I want to welcome our listening audience. If you're listening in on the radio or streaming, and you can stream our preaching and other preaching, other services from other congregations of the Lord's Church, plus our other past lessons on Harrisburg, churchofchrist.com, and it's a 24 louder. It's a 24, is that better? It's a 24/7 streaming service. That's at Harrisburg, churchofchrist.com. And if you're in the listening audience, if you have questions, feel free to call the church building at 618-252-7154. If there's no answer, leave a message and somebody will get back to you to answer your questions if you have questions or need something through the church. On our announcement list this morning, let's remember Naomi and Dustin, Naomi Simmons and Dustin Jackson. They've been coming here the last several weeks, but it may be kind of cold for them to get out, maybe. I know Naomi has breathing problems and et cetera. And then let's remember Ken and Sandy White, and they're here this morning. Ken had wrenched his back here a while back, and he says he's doing a whole lot better. So, and I'm glad to see both of them and see Sandy too. And let's remember the Blair family in our prayers with their medical problems that they have. Doug is still where his family lives. I believe is, I don't know what state it is, with his
South Dakota.
Where his sister passed away, and I don't know, I'm sure he'll probably be back midweek or so. Anyway, let's remember. Okay, Doug should be back today. Well, it says South Dakota on the announcement, sorry. Anyway, let's remember Doug in our prayers and the passing of his sister. And also, we have the shut-ins, Rose Beattie, Catherine Wright, Evelyn Belt, Judy Mayberry, Jack and Millie King. These are our homebound ones. Let's remember these individuals. And also, Krista gave Molly an announcement. There are gift bags in the foyer for members who are shut in. And they have the addresses on them and the card and the name. And they need to be delivered. I believe my notes said there's 5 units back there that need to be delivered. Like I said, the person's name, number, and address is on each bag. And this was done, they got together, Krista said they want a special thanks for all the ones that helped make the Holiday Gift Bags project a success. Time spent on cards, shopping, and bagging the items, caroling, and distribution was greatly appreciated. 21 bags were made yesterday, and I guess these 5, just some reason they didn't get, they might not have been home or whatever. Anyway, she wants to thank the community members and the members in the church that helped do this. Also, Sherry Stevers, this is Naomi's sister, the blonde-haired lady that sits on the back every now and then. Krista has the announcement that her son died. I don't have his name. We don't have his name. He died on Friday. He lived in Ohio, and he is her third child to pass away. Let's please pray for Shari and her family, and a phone call or a card would be appreciated. And the address for her is on the bulletin board in the back. Okay, let's see here. Another announcement that I had that David and Stacy Morris's son, Dustin, has graduated from the Southwestern Illinois Police Academy. And I believe that I understand that he's going to be a police officer in El Dorado, Illinois. So good for Justin. That's an achievement that I imagine his mother and dad are proud of him. And let's hope the best for Dustin and his new job, and that it all works out good for him. And he's close to home, and I bet his mom and dad like that too. So congratulations, Dustin. There's a certificate on the back table underneath the world map if you want to look at it. It's from the Southwestern Illinois Police Academy. And he graduated on December 5th. And let's see. Oh, and Brent Volkert had told me that Ashley, his wife, was at school, and she made a misstep off of some bleacher steps, and she twisted her right foot real bad, and let's remember her in our prayers, and she's going to be on a little scooter and crutches for a while until she heals up. So let's remember Ashley in our prayers. Let's see if I got all this stuff here. Got a lot of announcements this morning. Also, the scriptures for the week are Ephesians chapter 3, verses 10 through 13. And then there's some stuff in the bulletin about congregational evangelism. Also, there had been some inserts for the last few weeks about elders, installing elders or information about elders, and we can still think about that. Our order of worship today, we have the announcements. James McMillan is going to lead us in song. Our first prayer is going to be by Charles Wall. And Lord's Supper and contribution today will be done by Mike Porter will be in charge, and Briar Blair will assist him. The scripture reading will be done by Brent Volker today. And that's Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. And our preaching will be done by David Morris this morning. And then, well, I have a prayer for Charles Wall in the morning and a prayer for Charles Wall in the evening. So we need somebody to do a prayer for closing prayer today. We have kind of a misprint, maybe. Anyway, we'll figure that out. And then this evening, the PM sermon will be done by Kurt Hale. Guest speaker tonight, Kurt Hale. Is there any other announcements?
Yeah, I'll take, if you don't care, I can take Rose Beatty's, Jack and Millie's, and I think Catherine Scott, don't she, or is that it?
No. Let's see, we have Conrad Morris, Rose Beatty, Jack and Millie King, Catherine Wright, and Judy Mayberry. Okay. So brother.
I can do them after church. I need to probably call.
Okay.
The numbers are on there.
They're on there.
Yeah, all the information is on each one of the bags. Any other announcements?
Check card slots.
Card slot?
The card slots, because it's the holiday season.
Oh, the mailbox? The card mailbox. So Krista's got a good idea. Check your card mailbox, because this is the time of the year that the holes get filled quick. Any other announcements? If not, we'll lead it to James McMillan.
Good morning, everyone. It's time for us to begin our song service. Our first selection today is 829, Mansions Over the Hilltop. 829, if you're following along the song book. I'm satisfied with just God's beloved, a little silver and a little gold. But in that city where the ransom will shine, I want a gold one, that silver line. I've got a mansion just on the hilltop, in that bright land where we'll never grow old. And someday yonder we'll nevermore wander, but walk the streets that are pure as gold. Though often tempted, tormented and tested, and like the prophet, my pillow was strong. And though I find here no permanent dwelling, I know He'll give me a mansion my own. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop, in that right land where we'll never grow old. And someday yonder we'll nevermore wander, walk the streets that are pure as gold. Don't think me poor or deserted or lonely, I'm not discouraged, I'm heaven bound. I'm
just a pilgrim in search of a city. I want a mansion above the ground. I've got a mansion just up the hilltop in that right lane where we'll never grow old. And someday yonder we'll never more wander, but walk the streets that are pure as gold.
Before our opening prayer, we'll sing 450, Near My God to Thee, 450.
Father, what an honor it is once again this Lord's Day to be able to sit in our pews. Many are a number of Father that do not have this privilege, and we pray your blessings upon them at this time of hour. We pray for you, bless for Sherry's family that's had a loss in their lost loved one. Bless and comfort them through this trying time. Also, Father Doug and his sister were buried yesterday. That you bless them and their sorrow and bring Doug back safely. We pray, Father, for this great country we live in. Don't let our freedom ever be taken from us. Let our Constitution always be our guideline here, and your word be our guideline to heaven. We pray, Father, that you'll help us all to be strong. We pray you'll bless the teachers and the bus drivers and the students as they go about their activities, Father, where there won't be no shooting, nobody get hurt. We pray, Father, you'll bless the Marissa and Caleb, as they'll be coming home, bless them, give them a safe trip back to their place. We pray, Father, you help us as we go through life. As we listened this morning to the speaker, he said we need to get out and knock doors. Let Doug take the lead for us and get out and show how it's done. Help us all, Father, to be strong and never give up the faith, because we know with you all things are possible if we can just hold out. Be with us as we go through life. Bring us back to 95. Forgive our sin, Father, and at last save us in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Night with Evan Pinion, 452. 452, if you follow the songbook, this is their preparation, song for preparation for the Lord's Supper. Night with Evan Pinion, religion on the way, all around was silent, saying like with way, when Christ the man of sorrow, in tears and sweat and blood, prostrate in the garden, raised his voice to God, smitten for offenses which were not his own. He for our transgressions had to weep alone. No friend with works to comfort, nor hand to help was there. When the meek and lowly humbly bowed in prayer, Abba, Father, Father, if in thee it may, let this cup of anguish pass from me, I pray. Yet if it must be suffered by me, thy only Son, Abba, Father, Father, let thy will be done.
Let's go to the Lord. Most righteous Heavenly Father, as we get ready to partake of this Lord's Supper, we want to thank you for your Son. You sent him from your side, and he come down and experienced its trials and tribulations. He loved us so much that he was willing to go through all those punishments. You know, the devil tortured him for 40 days, tempting him, and he would not surrender to the devil. You know, as we get ready to take this bread, let's remember Jesus hanging on that cross, sacrificing himself for us. You know, it's the most grateful thing he's ever done, and thank you for his love. I want to thank you again for your Son, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let us pray. I thank you, Father, who art in heaven, for this cup, which represents Jesus Christ's blood, which he shed on that cross for forgiveness of our sins. Lord, I thank you for sending him down to die and suffer for us on that cross, so that we may be with you in heaven one day, and that we may be forgiven of our sins, Lord. I thank you for everything. I thank you for Jesus, Lord, and I pray that you bless everyone here and bless this cup. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
As this concludes Lord's Supper, we're asked to set aside on the first 3 weeks. Let's pray. Most righteous Heavenly Father, how can we ever thank you for the sacrifice of your Son Jesus? He was the most anyone could ever give. We ask you to please accept our services, our songs, and our contributions as partial payment for what we owe for your Son Jesus. You know, he gave us the ultimate gift. We love you and love your Son Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Our song of invitation will be 520, if you want to mark that in your song books. 520. And the four Bible reading or lesson of the hour, 315. A Living Glory, 315. I'd like to stay here longer than man's allotted days. It wants the fleeting changes of life's even ways. But if my Savior calls me to that sweet home on high, I'll live with Him forever in glory by and by. Oh yes, I'll live in glory by and by. I'll tell and sing my story there on high, there with my dear Redeemer, no more to deny. Oh yes, I'll live in glory by and by. I want to be of service along this pilgrim's way, and lead the lost to Jesus as fervently I pray. As day by day I travel, I'll keep Him ever nigh, and live with Him forever in glory by and by. Oh yes, I'll live in glory by and by. I'll tell and sing my story there on high, there with my dear Redeemer, no more to die. Oh yes, I'll live in glory by and by. The end I know is nearing, by faith I look away to yonder hopes infernal, the land of endless day. I'll cling to Him forever and look beyond the sky and live with Him forever in glory by and by. Oh yes, I'll live in glory by and by. I'll tell and sing the story there on high, there with my dear Redeemer, no more to die. Oh yes, I'll live in glory by and by.
Good morning. Today's scripture reading will be from the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. If you're following along in the Pew Bibles, that'll be found on page 852. The Bible reads, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven."
Good morning. I want to welcome everyone to our lesson this morning. I hope it'll be a good one for you. I believe it's a good one. Thank you, Brent, for the Bible reading. Anybody have any idea what today's topic is about then? Today's topic is about influence. Our influence. Our influence on the world. The world's influence on us, and our influence on one another. This I think as I go my way, what can matter the words I say, and what could matter the false or true of any deed I am moved to do? This I think as I go along, what can matter my right or wrong, whichever path I may choose to take, what possible difference can it make? This I think as I go to town, what can matter my smile or frown? Can anyone's destiny altered be for better or worse because of me? And something whispers, another may be sadly deceived by the words you say, and another believing and trusting you may be led astray by the things you do. For much that never you'll see or know will mark your days as you come and go. And in countless lives that you never learn, the best and the worst of you will return. That's by Edgar Albert Guest. I'm not a poet, but I do have Google.
I wanted to follow up just briefly with our video lesson this morning, because I think this lesson of influence with our topic of evangelism goes hand in hand. And then that's Kurt's lesson tonight is on influence. I gave him, he said, what do you think I should preach on? I said, well, there's three things that I think we could hear of this time and what's going on in our congregation here. And so he said, well, and so I said, you pick one of those and I'll pick one of the other two. And so he chose evangelism. So that's what I was going to do. But since that's okay, we'll go with influence. But to follow up today just a little bit, if you listen closely, Rob said that personal evangelism was not only the preacher's job. Did everybody that was listening hear that? I did. So I want us to, and he talked about several different things that people can do. I think there's something that you can do in personal evangelism. So what I'm going to challenge you to do, because I'm going to challenge me too, right? That's that thing, you know, God made our hand. I sell that all the time. God made our hand pretty funny. You know, if I'm pointing at you, that one finger, I got three pointing back at me. So I'm taking this for my own self as well. I want you to start thinking about of those things that Brother Rob talked about. What are you willing to do? What can you do now? And what are you willing to learn to do? And if your answer is nothing, then I want you to go home and I want you to have a talk with God. And you'll figure it out. Christian influence. Number one, our influence should reflect good and not evil. Our influence is wielded by our example, by our words, and by our deeds or actions. Those are all three ways that we can influence the world and others and one another. Our Christian influence can be seen in our associations, who we spend time with, and the things that we do with them. Our Christian influence should be obvious to all. It goes from that scripture reading, does it not? Our Christian influence ultimately will affect our salvation, my salvation and yours. But Brent just read Matthew chapter 5. From this passage, we understand that Christians are like to be like salt and like light. Salt is a seasoning that influences other things that we eat. It's not a primary staple. It's something that we add to a dish to influence and affect its flavor. It increases, it improves the flavor, and adds taste to what we're eating. We don't just pick up a salt shaker, unless you've got some kind of, probably something wrong with you, where you just pour down, you know, chug down some salt from a shaker. Most of us, we just add it to something. Light is something that we use to see other things that are around us. It influences our surroundings so that things become more visible, more clear to us. We don't just stare at the sun. That would be harmful. That would actually blind us after a while. But its influence, the sun's light, influences our entire world. Day and night, we get to see things more clearly. Light in this auditorium is affecting our ability to see you, to see me. So it has an influence when it's present. Christians are like salt and light in that we ought to have an influence on those around us, on our world, and the lives of those that come in contact with us. But if our influence is not being used for good, then we're like that salt that's lost its savor. Good's good for nothing. And as always, our influence is to bring glory to God. What does the word influence mean? Well, one definition reads, the power or capacity of causing an effect in indirect or intangible ways. Another definition follows, to affect or to alter by indirect or intangible means. I think those are probably pretty good. Christian influence would therefore be to positively affect or alter someone or something through the way one lives their Christian life, through the words that we speak or the actions that we take, so as to indirectly cause another to choose what is right. From the perspective of Christianity, a bad influence would be to negatively affect or alter someone or something through the way one lives one's life, so as to indirectly cause them to choose that which is wrong. Influence is very, very strong, more so than we give it credit for, I think. So our Christian influence should reflect good and not evil. We must be able to know the difference between good and evil. Hebrews 5:14. Influence must reflect that which is holy and pure. From 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, the Bible tells us to be holy. Our influence must not give place or opportunity to the devil to speak evil of us, Christ, or the church. Ephesians 4:27 says, neither give place to the devil. You realize how you live your life out behind these doors affects the influence of this congregation? Because if people see you do evil things or terrible things, they're not going to be a part of this body. So we need to think about that. The influence we have on others affects you, them, and the church, in the name of Christ. The example of Balaam in Revelation 2:14, he used his influence for evil. It says there, nevertheless, I have a few things against you. There are some among you who hold the teaching of Balaam, who taught Balak to entice the Israelites to sin, so they ate food sacrificed to idols and committed sexual immorality. We don't want to be like Balaam. Our Christian influence is shown through our example of our words and our actions. Jamie gave a lesson a few weeks ago on choices. The choices we make have repercussions in the lives of other people. Titus 3:8 says, this is a faithful saying, and these things I want to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. Words and actions must harmonize. Hypocrites don't have a good influence. James 3:17 says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. We can see some examples of good Christian influence and good works. Open your Bibles to Acts chapter 9. In verses 36 there. Through 39. At Joppa, there was a certain disciple named Tabitha, which is translated Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and charitable deeds which she did. But it happened in those days that she became sick and died. When they washed her, they laid her in an upper room. And since Lydda was near Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent two men to him, imploring him not to delay in coming to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he had come, they brought him to the upper room, and all the widows stood by him weeping, showing the tunics and garments which Dorcas had made while she was with them. So Peter brings her back to life. That's great. That's wonderful. But the influence that she had with using her hands to make things that people needed spoke so well of her that they were grieving over her loss. I hope someday that the same could be said of me, that people would be sad that I'm gone. And not just the people that's just right around my little circle, right? We need to have an influence, a bigger sphere of influence on the world around us. Titus chapter 2 tells us this in verses 7 through 8. In all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works. In doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. That needs to be true of all Christians. That needs to be our goal, is to make it to where people don't have anything bad to say about us. But notice there in the first part of that verse, it says, in all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works. What is a pattern? Some of you seamstresses might know what a pattern is. It's a guide for cutting cloth to make it a certain way. That way we see that dress and that pattern for that dress. If we follow that pattern, we're going to make the same dress that's probably on the label, on the cover of that pattern book. So in like manner, Christians should be a pattern for good works. People should be able to mimic our words, repeat our words. They should be able to mimic our lifestyle and our actions. That's what we'd want them to do. And if it's a pattern of good works, that's indeed what they should do. In doctrine, we're to be showing integrity, reverence, and incorruptibility. Sounds like another topic of something that we're seeking, and that's an eldership. Those things right there ought to be able to be said about anyone who wants to be an elder, should it not? Someone who can't be corrupted, who wants to do what's right. Our Christian influence can be seen through our associations. We must not follow a multitude to do evil. Exodus 23:2. Do not follow the crowd in doing wrong. When you give testimony in a lawsuit, do not pervert justice by siding with the crowd, and do not show favoritism to a poor person in a lawsuit. Don't follow a crowd. Jesus said that there's two gates. One is very wide. The gate's wide open, let a lot of people through. But Jesus says that gate leads to destruction. He says there's another gate, a narrow gate. It's very straight. It's narrow. But that leads to eternal life. That's the path that Jesus walked. That's the gate to his kingdom. And that's where we want to be. I don't want to be destroyed, and I don't want you to be destroyed either. And I don't want our neighbors to be destroyed. I don't want our town to. I don't want anybody to be destroyed. And Jesus doesn't either. We're not to associate with unfruitful works of darkness. Ephesians chapter 5. I'm going to turn there. It's one of the few chapters I don't have, or a few references I don't have actually printed out here. Let's read that together. Ephesians 5, beginning in verse 6. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were once in darkness, but now you are a light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. We need to be children of light. We need to be people who are exposing. That's an active thing. We can know what's right and wrong. We can see wrong. And we can just keep our mouths shut. But that's not what this scripture is encouraging us to do. It's saying expose evil. There's a lot of evil. And when we're around the water cooler and topics get brought up about certain topics, we need to let people know what evil is by exposing it to light, to bring it to light. And don't be ashamed. We need to have no association with evil because it will affect our influence. By not associating with wickedness, we shine the light of truth on that which is wrong. Our fellowship should be with the Father and His children, from 1 John chapter 1, verses 3 through 7. Our Christian influence should be obvious to all. I've quoted this, I think I quoted it maybe the last time I preached, and I'll say it again. It's from my brother H.L. Ross, and it may not be new to him either. He may have heard it somewhere, but I think about it a lot. He says, if Christianity was against the law and you were put on trial to prove that you were a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Could they find you guilty? I hope so. I hope so. We can see influences from lots of people. I can name a few people here. Michael Jordan. There's people here that weren't even alive when he was playing basketball. I almost guarantee they know his name, right? Albert Einstein. Elon Musk. We can go throughout many parts of the world and say those names and they'll know them because of their influence. If Michael Jordan had spent 1 year in the NBA and averaged 3 points a game, you think we'd know his name? The same could be said of Jesus. In Acts chapter 4, I'll show you the great measure of influence. Acts chapter 4, verse 13. Peter and John have been doing some things and speaking. And the Jews get a hold of them and bring them before the Sanhedrin council. And Peter and John are speaking. It says this, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled And they realized that they had been with Jesus. Jesus' influence was obvious to the Sanhedrin Council. These men had been influenced by Jesus. So we should reflect the excellence of God in our lives. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." Friends, excellence is obvious. If it's not obvious that something is a good influence, then it's not a good influence. If someone does not know you're a Christian, then you're not having a good influence. It should be obvious to everyone we know whether we are Christians or not. All of your coworkers should know that you're a Christian, and it doesn't have to come from your mouth talking about how you go to church. Your neighbors should know you're a Christian, and it shouldn't have to come from your mouth saying, "I'm a Christian and I go to church." It should be coming out of your mouth, but they should know that without you having to tell them. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, it says, "Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world." We're to be light. Light is easy to see in darkness. You ever been camping on a lake or something like that, and somebody maybe across a wide lake lights a lighter or strikes a match or something like that? You can see it. It's pretty wild how, you know, the darker it is, the less light it takes to shatter it. It's amazing. It has a great influence. And finally, our Christian influence will affect our salvation. In Matthew 5:13, He said, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It's therefore good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men." Salt that's lost its savor is cast out. If we lose our influence for good, then we're good for nothing. We'll be cast out as well. If we do not have good influence on others, they will have a bad influence on us. Galatians 5 verse 9 has the warning, "A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump." It just takes a little bit to influence. Galatians 6 7 says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." If you're sowing goodness, good works, good things will happen. If you're sowing strife, if you're giving an uncertain sound, a bad influence to your family, don't expect your family to be doing good. Don't expect your family to be righteous if you're not showing them how to be and speaking it. Sometimes we got to take some risks. We got to be willing to open our mouths to our family, to our friends, to our coworkers, to our neighbors, to the person in front of us at the checkout line. However, the good news is those who have a good influence will be rewarded by God for that good influence. Revelation 14:13 says, "And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." So, in conclusion, that's how you know you're halfway done. Just kidding. We've discussed Christian influence. It should reflect good and not evil. It should be shown in our example, in our words, and in our deeds. It can be seen through our associations. It should be obvious to all, and it's going to affect our salvation. How's your influence today? Have you been influenced? I can tell you I'm influenced in some ways. We've had some personal struggles. I can tell you right now, my wife can tell you what kind of articles I've been reading and social media videos I've watched by my attitude. And I'd say the same can be said for you. So how's your influence? Are you salt that's lost its savor? Is your influence working for good or for evil? You can change that. We got an opportunity to change a lot of things. We're going to change our congregation by doing some evangelizing. A couple years from now, there's going to be a lot of different faces in here. I know that. I know that because I know there's many of us that's willing to do something about the direction we're headed. But coming down to you and I today, at this moment, if you're not being influenced by Christ, it's because you're not following His example. Maybe you're not a Christian today. If you're not a Christian today, you need to bring your influence under the dominion and the rule of Jesus Christ. His plan is pretty plain, pretty clear. You need to hear God's word. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You need to believe with all your heart. Hebrews 11:6, for without faith it is impossible to please Him. You must believe that He is God, that Jesus is God. You must repent your sins. Acts 17:30, confess that Jesus as the Son of God. Matthew 16:16, and be baptized for the remission of sins. Mark 16:15-16. Maybe you're a Christian. Maybe you're already a Christian, but your influence hasn't been too good. It's a great opportunity to change at this invitation or the next. Maybe you've got some influence, some things that you've done that are publicly known. Maybe you need to take that time to confess that openly and publicly here. Ask the prayers of the saints to help you. If it's something private, go home, get in your closet, get on your knees, and talk to God about it. He can fix you all up. He can do it every time. God does not fail. God is love, and love never fails. If we can help you in any way, come as we stand and sing.
Hear the sweet voice of Jesus saying, come unto me, I am the way. Hearken the loving call, obey. Come, for He loves you so. Only a step, come, for He bled for you and I. He's the same loving Savior, yeah. Jesus the crucified. Casting your heavy burden down, come to the cross, the world may frown. Yet you shall wear a glorious crown when He makes up His own. Only a step, only a step. Come, for He bled for you and I. He's the same loving Savior, yeah. Jesus the crucified. Open for you the pearly gate. Loved ones for you, now watch and wait. Terrible thought to cry too late. Jesus, I come to Thee. Only a step, only a step. Come, for He bled for you and I. He's the same loving Savior, yeah. Jesus the crucified.
I want to thank everyone for coming this morning. I want to remind everybody that we will be here at 5 o'clock this evening. We have a guest speaker, so as we should
support him. So I wanted to encourage everybody to come back at 5 to this afternoon and listen to Kurt. Now, it's just not Kurt you're listening to. You're listening to the gospel. You're listening to how we need to learn more about the gospel. Like David said, we're going to be successful, but it's going to take you and me to do it. Is there any announcements that have not been made, James?
Yeah, I forgot a few announcements. Let's remember Doug in South Dakota with his sister's funeral, Ida Anderson. And also, Krista told me that James and Marissa are on a father-daughter weekend, so that's why James is not here. She said that they should be back hopefully tonight, unless they find something else to do, she said. And also, I left out birthdays for this month. On the 15th is Molly, 17th is Brooklyn Blair, 24th is Dorothy Wall, and the 29th is Martha Cranes. Also, I left out that on the 21st of this month is our potluck and men's meeting. Are we having, is that scheduled?
That, yeah, that would still go.
I left that out. And,
so we don't usually change that.
Say what?
We don't usually change that.
Okay, so it's on. And, so that's all I had. And then in the bulletin, there's a misprint, and we had Charles for two prayers, so we need somebody for the last.
Jamie Poe will do our closing this morning. Thank you, James. We appreciate all what you do and all the comments that was made this morning. We do need to remember all of our folks that we have here's birthdays. And that's a special time for most of us. To get old enough, it doesn't matter anymore, I guess. But anyway, Jamie, will you dismiss us, please?
Let's pray. Almighty and gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you once again in prayer, thanking you for the lessons that we've had here today, that there's been a lot of great things said, a lot of things that we can take and apply to our lives if we'll be honest with ourselves. I hope that everyone got something out of the Bible class this morning, that they will maybe step up and help with and get out of our comfort zones and do a little more maybe than what we're used to doing. Heavenly Father, be with those that may be less fortunate, that may be homeless today or not have heat in their house, that it's cold outside, and we just pray that you watch over those folks, that you'll put somebody in front of them that can help them and get them to the places that they need to get help. If there's anyone in this community, Lord, we pray that somehow we would be able to seek those folks out, or they would be able to get in contact with us. Heavenly Father, be with our military that's in parts of the world that's unfriendly and unsafe. Look after our military men and women and keep them safe. Be with the missionaries that are overseas that are also in harm's way trying to spread your word. Watch after those folks and keep them safe. Hey, Father, be with each and every one of us here today. Bring us back to the next point of time. These things we ask your name and pray. Amen.
I like them.
They're loud.
They're pretty cool.
I opened up the closet door in the complete darkness, and I know where that door is. I said, "Hey, David, over here. You want me? You want me today?
Wear me. Please wear me."
Thank you.